a credit card, that means we can afford a fucking house. Yeah, that's the logic behind our fucking credit system. I have a 790 fucking credit score.
Don't forget to suck some titties.
Hey guys, took a little hiatus there. Not on purpose, but not on accident. It just kind of naturally happened, you know. Sometimes it's kind of like a, do you guys remember your first threesome? someone's always going to be disappointed. And, I know it was you guys. In this threesome, it would be like me, the camera, and you. Well, the camera's getting the short end of the stick because, you know, gotta keep it waist up. But yeah. I think this is my first episode I've recorded in over a month. Jibber jabber, whatever. And I think it's recording this on April 19th. Yeah. But yeah, a lot going on out there, but most importantly, a lot going on in here. So yeah, a little update for the long-time viewers. I do have a new job. It's nothing too serious, it's still just a part-time job, but you know, it's cool. And so yeah. I will say, you know, I've had a lot of time to observe and think about things. And, you know, I've come to a pretty staunch conclusion about is that I don't really have many opinions or conclusions about a whole lot of things. You know, I don't know if it's just a getting older thing or doing this show over time. I used to, like, care and have so many different views of everything, right? Like, I would have an opinion just about anything. I remember not to go back in time with the archives, I did a deep dive on Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick. I did an episode during the whole Jada Pinkett thing called the Entangled Steamed Vagina, something like that. Like, for some reason, I cared about things that didn't matter. And I still care about things that don't matter. And I really, really don't care about things that do matter. And by the way, there's been an absurd amount of plane crashes. Like, literally today, there's a small plane crash in Nebraska. There was a shooting yesterday at FSU. There seems to be these, I don't know who would want to volunteer to fly these days. I don't know who's like, hey, you know, I know you can't avoid things and you can't let these things fear you, but I think we've had more accidents in the first 4 months of this year than all of last year combined. It's literally like every, it seems like when one happens the next day. I'm not saying there's, you know, someone out there in the sky sniping us away, but there's something odd going on out there. Conspiracy or not, I just don't know who would want to actually go out there, fly. I don't know who would want to go to a school these days. I don't know who would want to go outside, you know? It doesn't seem like a lot good is happening outside. You know, people always say, you know, oh, I just want to be outside. You know, really, like, I want to be in the scene. I want to go to, you know, where all the action's happening, the fun. Outside is where, you know, you might have to be inside for the rest of your life in a vegetative state because some kids just like, hey, I don't like any of y'all. Y'all bullied me. Which, by the way, bullying, just because you were bullied as a kid, doesn't glorify you going around and, you know, pop, pop. But, yeah, speaking of people that are always discontent, Aaron Rodgers. As wild, I just kind of connected school shooting, airplane crashes, Aaron Rodgers. Well, that was his whole experience in New York. I'll admit, I haven't watched the full context, the vid and clip, so this is A1 journalism in 2025. I should say, not A1, but on par. Where, and I like Aaron Rodgers. You know, I love his appearances on Pat McAfee. I love his You know, he really is, regardless if you like him or not, he's a breath of fresh air in terms of, you know, we get tired of athletes giving these PR answers to everything. You know, we just got to win as a team. We got to come together. And everybody's like, nah, you know, ownership here sucks. I don't like the way they did business around me. I don't like the way they did shit behind my back. I don't like the way this and that. And I get it. And now, the more he talks, you're like, you know what? This is why PR exists. I think PR is really designed to keep you from coming off as unbearable to the public. And this last thing where he's like, I didn't like the way the Jets... I don't like the way the Jets went about my departure. And he said, because... they had him fly out in person just to tell him, we're going to cut you. We're not bringing you back. And he complained, like, well, we could have just done that over the phone. Because there was no place for discussion or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's not what would have happened. If they would have just, you would have found out through the news or just called you, you would have complained that they didn't talk to you in person. And I like Aaron Rodgers, but it is getting to a point where it's like everywhere you go, there's a problem. Every situation seems to be on everyone else. It really does seem like over time. I remember like a decade ago, Colin Cowherd, he came up with this analysis. And it sounds childish and stupid, and it sounds like whatever. He said, it's a red flag when a grown man has no kids, not married. Because they're all, the older someone gets, the older a male gets, or older an adult gets, and it's all about themselves. They become more about themselves. And we're in this culture of self-love, self-improvement. All about taking care of ourselves. Well, all that is great, but if you're just doing self-improvement to take care of yourself and it's never to elevate around you, then really, there's no real point of self-improvement if there's no benefit outside of yourself, ironically. And sure, from a team standpoint, you know, he's productive and all that stuff. But it seems like the crazier and out there he's gone about this, you know, being into himself things, production has kind of dwindled over time. And it's getting to a point where it's always something. It's never like, hey, you know what? It's just the way things happen. Things move on. You know, we see things different. We just got to go our separate ways. It always seems like there's a problem. It's always, well, they didn't do this way, this that way. It's like, you didn't show up to training camp last year. You probably weren't this year. And you have the leverage to do what you want. You're at the point in your career where you don't really have to do anything you don't want to do. You have the money. You have the accolades. You're going to the Hall of Fame. Another Super Bowl, believe it or not, it's probably not going to really do much if we're being completely honest. It's like it would be a cool accolade, but it's not really going to. People that made their minds up about him, they've made their minds up about him. So for me personally, I'm just kind of, you just get tired. Like, I think we as individuals over time, gosh, I feel like I'm saying a whole lot of yapping of nothing. but I feel like the older we get, we just have less and less room for just people that are draining. And Aaron Rodgers has become just a draining person to hear, to talk about. It's just high maintenance. And the thing is, the most high maintenance people are typically the people that are the most into themselves. People that are low maintenance, they typically have too much other shit to worry about. You know, they got kids, they got family, they got responsibilities. They got too much shit to be worried about only themselves. And I'm not saying that to shade them or nothing like that, you know. But that sticking out and calling, like, you know, Colin, he makes fun of the guy with the backwards hat. the guys who's all, you know, Aaron, he's always about himself. He's always complaining about this. He's always passive aggressive. And all this stuff is just like whatever when you're the greatest at what you're doing. But when you're not the greatest at what you're doing anymore, you're deteriorating, you're not the same, you're getting older, and you're still that same, there's just a draining password. In a comparison, on a less extreme scale, but I think it's a great cautionary tale of Joe Flacco has come around to be very like a cult fan favorite, no pun intended, cult. Everywhere he goes, he's like the team's, he's like the fan base's favorite QB on the team, where he's the backup, the third string, or whatever. Because wherever he goes, he's a good teammate. He says all the right things about being a good teammate to a young quarterback. But what people forget is when they drafted Lamar Jackson, he was not really a big fan of it. As you would expect. He didn't have anything against Lamar personally, but he's like, it's not my job to, you know, teach him. It's not my job to train him. It's not my job to really help him. Like, I'm the star of the team. I got to prepare for the game too. It's like, it's not that I'm not going to help if he has some, but I'm not going to spend 3 extra hours a day helping him prepare for the game or helping him how to be a pro, being a mentor. And he got a lot of flack. No pun intended. Poetic. By the way, no jumper. I'll get to that in a second. But Adam 22 is going bankrupt. But we'll stick to man who never went bankrupt after he won a Super Bowl. That Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. And at the time, we thought 6 years, $120 million was like the greatest fucking contract in history. And then, and now that's like fucking Gardner Minshew money. That's like Geno Smith is getting paid more annual per year. Sam Darnold than Joe Flacco after winning a fucking Super Bowl. Think about that. But the craziest thing to me, now I'm getting relaxed. But the comparison is like Joe Flacco's like, now he's like, he's on the older side. You realize no team is giving me to be their starter, but yet he keeps getting opportunities because he keeps going to teams that the starter can't play or can't complete 46% of his passes, or they get hurt, or you know, they touch a few too many inappropriate massagers. This man just knows how to pick his spots. But even when, like Anthony Richardson last year, going through his struggles, Joe Flacco was a consummate pro. Like, you know, we need to stand behind this guy, be a good teammate, and realize he's a young guy. We got to give it. He was, like, defending him to the media to ease up on the guy. He's a young guy trying to progress. And it's come a long way being in a different position, getting older, and you can see that growth aspect. That makes Joe Flacco likable. And Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, is just to the point where there's no value to having someone like that on their team. It's like, hey man, you're gonna put people through this. Like, we're good. We like you. I would like to see Aaron Rodgers play, but at the same time, the league will be fine. Speaking of Amazon Prime, Jeff Bezos launched Space Origin out into space. Apparently, it was like literally like 600 miles into space, which is still 600 miles, by the way. And launched a celebrity of females along the lines of Katy Perry, Gayle King. And it was the most random thing ever, right? Like, this thing happened. And how come no one knew? Like, no one knew about it beforehand. And I really just don't get, you know, forget what people are making fun of about, like, the like calling them astronauts, whatever. It's whatever, that stuff. To me, I think the bigger issue with it is, how come out of all the people in the world, you choose six random celebrities that don't need to do that? They could have done that with everyday people to have the experience of a lifetime. Like, why don't they just make that a ride? Yeah, that'd be pretty expensive. You probably have to pay, like, you know, a few hundred thousand buckaroos. And I get it. It was probably a PR standpoint for Bezos. And someone made a comment. You know, Bezos is one of the most legendary men in history. He found a way to make his girlfriend and all of her friends launch him up into space and shut him up for a few hours. Shut him up for an hour. It's like, that would be a pretty legendary, like, hey, I just want some privacy. Hey, you know what? Let me just send your ass out in space for an hour, all right? Leave me the fuck alone. That's how you know they got some fuck you money up around here. I know I'm a little rusty right now. Literally haven't done this in a month. People don't realize, by the way. Talking, doing this, it really is about reps. It really is about... It takes a little bit to get back into it. All the previous times I've taken small little breaks or hiatuses, it always takes an episode or two to get back. But don't worry, you know, flow with me. And I'm playing it off right now, but literally, as I was fixing the mic checks before this episode, a little behind BTS. I did not know for the longest time what BTS stand for. I thought it was like one of those anime, you know, bondage shit. Well, behind the scenes, I was adjusting some stuff, and I spilt one of my energy drinks that I already drank half of. So, as a normal responsible adult, I cleaned that up, and I grabbed another one, because you know what I need at 7 o'clock at night? More caffeine. I took a long break from energy drinks. But it was pretty early on in the podcasting where I was busting these out, Tatiana. And I was like, whenever this podcast makes it to some type of level and gets sponsors, like Ghost Energy Drinks, bro. Like, I've been promoting your product for free. Just saying. But yeah. You know, consumerism is a pretty dangerous thing right now. And I will say, a little inside baseball. I don't want to expose what I do. But it's a part of some I know. I cannot look at department stores. I cannot look at shopping the same. Like, I went grocery shopping last night. And because of my experience with my new job and how they price mark things, I'm not going to get too into it because it's not like I'm exposing, but it does open your eyes to how a consumer responds to quote-unquote discounted prices when they aren't really discounted. I'll just give an example. So I was putting out some price labels the other day, and literally I'll just say a number. This isn't a true number, but I'm going to give it in. The number on the thing said... The price right now is $397, right? $397 for the object, right? We had to print a new label. The new label was, all right, now the price is $447. And you know what they put? Typically, so what they did to make it... The fuck? Oh my fucking god. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Everything is just fucking falling apart. Fuck. This is a terrible fucking... God damn it. I just dropped my fucking phone. Towel fell off. I'm overheated. I feel like I got fucking menopause. I'm losing my fucking shit. I'm making sure that my fucking audio is actually picking up. Everything is just fucking wrong. You tell me I'm having a great fucking time. I can't get comfortable. My butt's squeaking. My pants are too tight. My waist is too fat. God damn it. But so I was printing the price label out, and There's my BP spill. Get it? I'm killing birds around here with these farts. Yeah, there we go, Clint. And my underwear looks like an oil leak. That's a joke. Most of my underwear have holes in it, so it's definitely my pants. Captain Underpants. But yeah. And my shirt. I just realized my shirt looks like I fucking work at a car shop. Grease. I'm a greasy boy. Anyways. The original label said $397 for the object. We reprint the labels. And this is where these retail deceptiveness happens. The new label, they raise the prices. Cool. By the way, it's been happening a lot recently. In case you want to read the news of why. The new price of it was $447. But in the little right square, they'll put was. Right? Oh, wait. No, hold on. I fucked that up. No. I'm trying to remember. God damn it. I fucked that up. What they'll do is they'll put the original price, right? All right. The original price was like $447. Okay. So, yeah. Here's what it was. The original price of $447. They put the new price is $497. Okay. But in the was, they'll put $440 or they'll put like $397. The was never the was. That was the original price. The original price was, they'll always put that the was price was actually lower than what the actual price that we just changed. And what that has shown me is the deceptiveness of these places. And I couldn't help it. When I went grocery shopping yesterday, I went around and I was like, look at these tags. I'm like, I know this says, I'm like, that was not what it was before. I was here last time. And I'm like, I know half of these is lying. And the fact that these companies can get away with this shit is diabolical. It's criminal. It's cynical. But yeah, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. YouTube has the best free movies around. I hate to say it, YouTube has better movies for free that you can watch compared to just about any streaming service out there. Like, I've had Netflix in a while, I have HBO Max, but even the Peacocks at Disney's. Like, I checked my HBO Max the other day. There's like no, I mean, any decent movies I've already seen. There's not really anything new. It's pretty meh. YouTube actually had, like, I pay for a streaming service and most of the anything I watch movie-wise, any new movies I watch, not new movies, but movies that are there for free, and they have a lot of fucking good movies on there. Old movies, movies from a few years ago. And they even have ones you can rent just for, like, for a few bucks if you want to see, like, a specific movie. And Tubi. I've been watching, like, a lot of, like, these. I remember growing up, Michael Moore, he's a documentary filmmaker. He basically has done ones about, you know, the housing crisis. He's done one about medical. He's done one about capitalism. All these cool little documentaries and stuff. I never watched it, you know, growing up because it was in theaters. And it was always kind of weird. Like, I never understood who would go to a movie theater to watch a documentary. But that's neither here nor there. But these movies are very insightful. And to watch in real time, these crooks get away with this shit. And we just continuously let it slide. The fact that these people in Congress can trade stocks, not to turn us into trading, but the fact that they could trade stocks when they have the most inside information, because they are literally passing laws that affect stock prices. They have access to information to these big tech companies, for example, that most of the public doesn't have. So they be short selling at the perfect times to maximize profit. They be doing things where, and the fact that they can have this effect, the fact that they can do this, is pretty insane. But yeah, in case you're wondering how trading's going, it's an uphill climb. I do not have the inside information, but, you know, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. What I will say, though, I like watching certain shows about topics I'm interested in at the moment. And I do think, I'll be honest, I think part of the reason why I haven't done this show in the past month is I've been really dialed into dipping into unfamiliar territories, which is trading, and I've been a little bit obsessed with it, but I think it's a good obsession. Like, if you are spending time acclimating your mind and really applying information and learning about stuff and just constantly staying active in the market cycle because you want to learn about it and you're really trying to get better at it, you know, sometimes certain things take a backseat, including my waist. And it's one of those necessary evils, and I feel like I got a bounce on it now, but I like watching, like, Words of Wisdom, right? I like watching that, not because I really care about how much money the traders have made, but it's identifying commonalities that I'm going through at a certain point in time, understanding. But the only issue when really you watch podcasts or listen to shows like this where it's a lot of contradictory information. One will say you gotta, you know, only use, you can only bet 10% of your portfolio. Other says if you're not putting it all on the line, you're not really trying. One is all about the psychology. One is about technical. One's about this. So it's like sometimes it could be a little bit much. But one thing, the main point is there's people in the comments of a lot of this stuff where they're talking about these people are scammers and all this stuff. And because they're selling courses and all that stuff. And yes, I'll be honest with you. I would never buy a course for trading. I would never buy a course for really much of anything. To be pretty frank with you, not because I don't think there's information in it, but I always feel like the best way you're going to learn is by applying and using your own money and actually learning, seeking out the information. They're not going to tell you anything in these courses that you can't find online as is. And really, you can take all the courses you want. It's all about time and doing something. And like, all you have to do is listen to these people talk. And they'll tell you. Like, the dude said, once he started the show and podcast, he stopped trading. Right? But he was making a little bit before him, but he had failures and stuff. And he said, once he did the show, his excuse was, hey, I stopped trading because I couldn't really be all in on this and do this. And that's great. He was more into, he wanted to have a successful podcast before, you know, and he didn't want trading to be an expense of that and get in the way of that. So his show's all about trading, but he doesn't trade anymore. But he's giving out courses and advice about trading. So it is kind of a contradicting thing. But at the same time, these people in the comments saying they're scammers and all this stuff, I mean, you should never listen to these people and actually really think that you're going to make money and learn to actually do the thing they're talking about. Like, if you buy a $500 course for something you can access for free, you deserve to lose that $500. I'm just going to be honest with you. And it's weird that people rely on public information people to give them the answer key to turn $500 into $100,000. That's what's wild to me. Like, you got to be able to identify, like, hey, I'm going to take this for what it is and nothing more. Relying on, regardless if they claim to be $10 million profitable, you complaining about scam artists, if you know they're scam artists, then don't feed into the shit. But if you buy someone's course and then you lose money, well, then you lost money. And instead of just thinking that you're going to buy a course and that's going to solve, that's going to teach you how to do something, fix your issues, then you weren't going to succeed at it anyways. I just can't, you know, I just can't stand when people blame, you know, it's kind of like going back to Aaron Rodgers, like, people blaming everyone else for why things aren't going well, succeeding, or, like, these people are online giving you free information. I haven't taken it. To me, I watch these shows more for entertainment and to kind of just be in tune. I like listen to dynamic. I like hearing things that are relatable. Someone's situational stuff. That's what you should be listening to. Not buying these courses. You need to listen to their conversations and listen to the situational matter. What to learn from. And it's funny how, with the cost of living going up, like, you're going to need secondary income. Now, I'm not saying you got to trade or do investing and stuff like that, but you really, like, honestly, these days, you got to find ways to supplement any income you have, because one is not going to be enough for a lot of people, you know? I'm not speaking for me or anything. But if you let your expenses get out of hand, you're kind of fucked. You really are. So yeah. Just a little thought of the day. She a thought. She a thought so hot. She a bot. She a thought. I will say, I think one thing about trading, what it teaches you about, it really is like a version of a game of life. Trading is the definition of you against yourself. It really is. Because you're, the worst part, what trading exposes, and the thing why a lot of people, I think, struggle with making money in it, people look at it as like it's easy money. It can't be. But the easier money something is the easier way you could rationalize losing money. Trading is the definition of you against yourself, because you can be, in 2 minutes, you can have a $100 profit. And somehow you convince yourself, nah, I want more. And you know what happens? Now you're down $100. 5 minutes later. It really is the definition of you against yourself. And the worst parts of yourself will be exposed. And that's really the reason when you hear the statistic that I think is like, it's funny how years ago it was 97%. Now it's like 88% of day traders, after like 300 days or something like that, will not be profitable. They'll actually have lost money. Is because people are just never happy with enough. People look at it, and because it's so easy, quote unquote, it's easy money, it's just as easy to not be content with enough money. Because all you're doing is pressing buttons, you're just swiping, you're making educated guesses in a couple minutes, you can win a couple $100. Like, it's easy, right? And it could rationalize you not being content with stuff. And this isn't just me. Like, I've gone through the fluctuations. I'm starting to get some things about it figured out. But from what I've seen, and people that are actually, like, degenerates, gamblers with this stuff, it's, for some people, it's not really about the money. And I have to catch myself with this. Like, at the end of the day, we are doing this to make money, right? But somehow, it's the winning that is what keeps that adrenaline going. And the losing feels, I would say, twice, three times as worse as the winning. It's funny. And I'll give an example of Friday. I did a option on IBIT, right? It was a very cheap option. You know, Fridays are typically very cheap. I got a $25 positive return. I sold it, made a $25 return, which was really good because I only put $35 into it. So a 70% return, pretty damn good. That's $25 I didn't have before. I had another one where I had like a $100+ option for something. I ended up losing like $50. And that shit, that $50 loss felt 8 times worse than that win. 8 times worse. Because the psychology of, like, it's weird. People will hold on to hope to something that's not going to happen. It's like people in relationships. People will hold on to something that they know is not right. They know their partner doesn't love them. They know they're only staying for the kids. They know that there's nothing there. But they're just holding out for hope that, you know, just maybe what I thought when I got into this situation, I'm going to see it through and it will work out. 98% of the time, it's not going to work. and that's what trading is. Trading is, it kind of makes you look at life a little bit different. It could be good for you. When you lose and then you figure it out, when you start, it's because you stop holding on to stuff that's not going to work. And then you start translating. If you have success in something and you apply the strategy, you're going to translate it to real life. If something's not working, you get in and out of something, you minimize the loss, you rip the band-aid off, you move on to the next thing until something that does work. That's what trading is like. But it's all psychology. It's all real. Unlike the moon landing. Yeah, there's still people that believe that the moon landing isn't real. There's actually a conspiracy that they used, like, Stanley Kubrick. They used a set he had for the Space Odyssey movie. Like, they're like, hey, you already have the movie set up. Just, you know, let us use, you know, the set. And I think people are, I'm not anti-conspiracy. Do I think it's possible? I don't know. It possibly is. Does it really matter? I think the biggest issue is the fact that we feel a need that we just can't trust history. We can't trust what our government has said it has done. That something's real, we always got to assume it's not real because everything's been exposed. MLK wasn't assassinated by some random person. It was possibly someone tied to the FBI. JFK. Enough said. there's plenty of, you know, Edward Snowden exposing things. To where we can't trust anything. To the point where astronauts going to the moon, can't trust it. Everything has to be questioned. So, yeah, that's good times. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm just blanking out, man. Like, I think maybe this part, you know, if I'm being like, maybe this part of the reason I haven't done an episode. Because, you know, typically when I take weeks off, right, almost a month off, I typically have so much locked and loaded just ready to talk about. I'm like, and to be honest, I don't really care for the news. I don't really care to have new profound opinions. I'm kind of just, I watch things and it's almost like I enjoy, I'm in a consumerist, as much as I complain about consumerism, I'm really in a consumerism state to where I just want to watch things that have no stakes in it. I think that's why, like, I enjoy watching, much as I hate to say it, I didn't even realize it was mukbanging until, I don't watch, like, the mukbanging to where people are sitting there eating with hot Cheetos all over the mouth and shit, but it's like watching people try new fast food orders or comparing a Costco hot dog to, you know, a Nathan's hot dog. Like, harmless shit. And you fall down this rabbit hole, you grow a connection to people that do this stuff when they're just shoving wieners and burgers in their mouth. If for some reason you just enjoy the stakes of not having stakes. And I think because you go through years of just being tired of all, everything is so serious. Political, activism, school shootings and shit. It's like, bro, like, you, I think we seek to just, I hate to use the term distraction, but it kind of, you know, I've been watching more movies than ever. Like, I haven't watched a movie for the past 2 or 3 years. I think I watched like 2 movies working so much. Now I have all this time, really the past month and a half, I've been going ham, bro. Watching old movies from the mid-2000s. Like last night, I watched The Internship from 2013 with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. And I remember when the movie came out. It was never really a movie I cared to watch. I watched it. It's a damn good movie. There's no stakes to it. It's just two older guys got laid off from their job. They had this crazy idea where they do an interview with Google to enter through sales. They get an internship. And then it's just like a fun, lighthearted, solid movie. Like, I didn't watch the movie expecting it to be life-changing like Avatar. I didn't expect it to change the landscape of film like a Marvel or to be some cool indie biopic. I didn't care if it was going to be the next Twilight series. I didn't care if it was going to be Quentin Tarantino's last fucking film. What's the message here? Look at all these idiosyncrasies. It's straightforward. It's lighthearted. I gravitate towards just shit that doesn't have stakes. But I do like a good steak. No, in all seriousness, I really, you know, if I had to critically think for half a second during this whole fucking episode, I would say the main reason is because there's enough shit going on, whether it's like personal life, you know, financials. I will say, you know, I'll get a little, not too deep inside, but what I will say. So I recently, I think I kind of talked about it, but before, where I got a personal loan, right? I tried to get a personal loan through my bank, and it really opened. I've never been comfortable getting loans. I don't like going through banks. Like, I don't, I like, I think I've walked into a bank like 5 times in the past 10 years. Everything has been direct deposit, ATM. What, I don't like going to the bank. I don't do credit cards. I think they're scams in the long run. I don't care about your 2% cash reward bonus on all your purchases, because it doesn't matter if you're getting 2% back. If you're spending 5 times as much as if you didn't have the credit card, you're still spending more fucking money. Break down the math. And this is the shit that pissed me off, right? This is, I'll just say, this, like, I'm not going to say my bank, but I applied for a personal loan to a bank. It became like a 3-week process. Granted, I didn't have proof of income. I was starting a new job and all this stuff, whatever. So that part was okay. But it just became dry. Every day I'm calling. What do you need? Oh, we need this. The next day, this. I'm like, bro, like, this is exactly why I avoid this shit. Why do you avoid everything? It's because every time I finally, like, fine, I won't avoid it, it becomes 10 times worse than what it was in my fucking head. Then I eventually just said, fuck this shit. And I got a loan from an online source or whatever. Going to get APR out of the ass, but it's whatever, you know. Money now, invest, you know, they always say debt is leverage. No, it's not. Debt is testicular cancer on your ball sack, all right? It's not leverage. It's leveraging to the downside. Stock trading, sorry. It's leveraging to the downside. There's nothing positive about debt. And they convince us that having debt is a good thing. It builds credit. Because let me tell you what good credit gets you. I applied for this loan, right? They rejected the original. Granted, I understand they rejected the amount because I couldn't prove X amount of income. Even though I proved income, I would be getting whatever. So they offered an offer that was literally like half as much, which is like whatever. But here's the part that pissed me off. I'm not mad about the counter offer. In the mail that they sent me, I wish I had it. It's in my room. In it, it says part of the reasons we had to carefully consider this loan was because your credit. You want to know what my credit score is? I didn't even realize it was this high. Like, I have blown that shit to the top. Yeah, that's what happens when you pay shit on time for 8 years. Some benefit. They'll tell you there's benefit, right? You build your credit score, you can get anything out there. You can't even get a $7,000 fucking personal loan with a 790 credit score. And they have the audacity to say, this is why we couldn't get you this. It's like, no, it was because of the income. And then they tried, in the credit, they're like, possible variations. You have some open credit that hasn't been used, or you have some cards that have been inactive, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, because I've actually built that credit legitimately, not finessing a system. That is legitimate paying bills all the fucking time. For 7-8 years fucking straight. You got assholes out here that, hey, oh, we just go out to eat every night. Put on a credit card. That means we can afford a fucking house. Yeah, that's the logic behind our fucking credit system. I have a 790 fucking credit score. And they're saying we can't approve you for a $7,000 loan for 60 months. It's like, I can shit $7,000 in 60 months. Like, eat my asshole. What the fuck? They had the audacity to write it on a piece of paper. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, my credit score is that fucking high. Way to go, Clint. I'm literally paying off my fucking vehicle that I've never missed a payment on. And you can't give me a fucking personal loan? This is why when they say builds your credit up, it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Having credit is not a sign that you are good with money. Which is kind of contradictory because I'm saying I'm not good. But it is not a sign that you can actually get what you want or need. Credit is designed for them to easily track you. It is designed for them to keep you in some type of in debt. It's designed to make you spend more because you don't feel like you're spending your real money, even though you have to spend your real money to pay off their money anyways. But you get 2% cash back. Eat my dickhole. God damn it. We can't because you have a 790 credit score. It's like, I'm pretty sure no one at your fucking branch has a 790 credit score. And they're the ones approving my fucking loan? Sorry, going off the rails there. See, now I'm cooking. It took me 50 minutes And now my anger is coming out. I'm not even angry. I'm actually in a pretty okay mood. But that shit, I'll tell you why. Because, look, obviously with trading, you learn a lot more about banks and stuff like that, how kind of Federal Reserve, all this shit works. I've had this bank for the past 11 years of my life, ever since I was 18 and opened a bank account with them. I've never asked for anything. You guys have always called me trying to give me to sign up for this, sign up for this. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Keep it good. I don't have any real debt. I've never had a negative balance in my bank account, even at the lowest points. I've had a few rough moments. I've never needed them. They've always needed some from me. They always tried to take advantage of a young buck. They tried to get me in the debt. But then, the second I need you, it's a pain in the ass. All my preconceived notions of banks proven to be true. The process of getting a fucking loan, going to a bank that already has my account. Like, you guys have all my information. And then it becomes a nightmare, a pain in the ass. I'm calling this way. And it's not the people at the branch's fault. It's the people they send it to. So I'm not pointing out anyone. The people at the branch, they were nice. They try to do their job as best. It's the people that quote unquote review. They say they need, all they need is this. You give them that. Well, actually, they need this. So, okay, you give them that. Actually, we need a little bit more of this. It's like, okay. But the second you need these banks, right? If they needed something, if they needed a payment from you, they could sue you, they can delinquish your, they could freeze your bank accounts, whatever. You need something from them, it's, hey, we got a process. Like, oh, okay. I'm trying to make you guys money. Because I'm going to be paying more than loan anyways. Like, I know how the game works. They wouldn't be giving out money unless you're going to make something from it anyways. So, just give me the fucking money. I'll overpay later. I know how the system works. I'm not pretending that I'm using it as leverage. I'm getting fucked, and I'm letting you fuck me. Alright? So, fuck me. That's why your earnings report was poor, you asswipes. Honestly, if you weren't my favorite color, I'd probably go to a different bank. But then I feel like that would be a whole process. Anytime you need the banks for something, they got a problem. But they haven't, and you know the audacity, and I know they're trained to say this, but I remember it was pretty deep into the loan process, right? And I was trying to, you know, look, I really need a decision by Friday. I'm being nice about this. That's why I tried to do this a couple weeks ago, and every day I'm following up. She's like, well, you know, if just in case, you know, well, what you could do is sign up for a credit card. It's like, oh, really? You didn't think I thought about, let me sign up for a credit card. Here's what I know about credit cards, and I'm pretty sure you do too. Credit cards, if you put something on the bill, you have to pay it by the end of the month. You know what I can't do? That's why I'm getting a loan from you. You don't think I thought about it? No one's getting thousands and thousands of dollars of a loan if they were just going to put it on a fucking credit card, you dumb fucks. But no, they always want you to get that fucking credit card. Oh my fucking God. And, you know, you'll have these millionaires and billionaires, this Robert Kiyosaki guy, like, debt is leverage. I'm $1 billion in debt, and I'm killing it out here. It's like, really? Because you've been saying the stock market's going to crash for like 20 years. Oh, see, I was right. It's like, it took you 20 years. Eventually, there's going to be a fucking crash the way you want it. You know, if you say something's going to happen every day, eventually, that thing's probably going to happen. It doesn't mean you are right just because you say, I can say anything now. A pigeon is going to get hit by a Louisville slugger in the middle of Maine because it drives too far low into some kid's backyard, and he's practicing for practice next week, and he didn't have a wiffle ball, or he didn't have a wiffle bat, so he grabbed his dad's old Maxis, and he decided to swing around, he hit a baseball, and boom, dead pigeon. But you know what? If you say it every day, it's probably going to fucking happen. God damn it. I'm okay I didn't get the loan from the bank, by the way. It is just the fucking point. Jesus. But yeah, you know what goes, but you know what's the funny part? If I were to have so much, like, let's just say in trading, right? Let's say I were to make like 100K next year, right? I'm pretty sure they'd be like, hey, you know, have you thought about applying for some business loans opportunities? It's funny how all of a sudden when you have money, they want to all of a sudden throw loans at you. It's like, first of all, the whole point of me making this money is so I don't need your fucking money. All of a sudden, when you have that, all of a sudden, they want to just throw, oh, sign up for this business credit card, this and that, you know, 4X it, build these miles, build X, Y, and Z. All of a sudden, they want to fucking give you everything you actually needed when you actually needed it. I don't need your 2% cash back. I got 800% more than what your 2% would ever fucking get me, boy. Jesus. I shorted your company. I don't need your 2%, you fucks. God damn it. But yeah, otherwise I'm having a great time. I'm not even stressing over, you know, it's funny, like people go here just thinking like I'm stressing over finances. No, I completely ignore that at all costs. But it pisses me off when, you know, people, you know, they want to push and push shit on you. And you're like, hey, you know what? I'm good. But then when you actually need some, all of a sudden, they can't do it for you. I'm not saying the system is designed to keep, you know, the poor people in a cycle of being in debt. But what I will say is certainly not to keep you thriving. It's not really about fair opportunity. And I've been on both sides. Like, literally, I'm going to say, but last year, they probably would have been happy if I came in and applied for a $10,000. They're like, oh, free fucking money here. They would have probably, if I wanted a $15,000 loan, they probably would have gave it to me. It's like, but I don't need your $15,000 loan if I was making what I was making before. Do you not get it? And I know the worries, you're not going to pay us back. It's like, my credit score says, the whole point of the credit score is to show you have a track record of paying shit. What is the point of the credit score? What's the point? This is why, like, the number is completely pointless. It means absolutely fucking nothing. It means absolutely nothing. I am telling you, kids, your credit means absolutely fucking nothing. There's your financial advice. It means nothing when it's good. It means a lot when it's not good. It basically, there's no benefit to it. It's funny how people tie their self-worth or their worthy of their financial well-being to how good their credit score is. That's the wildest shit to me. It's like, I will take having $200,000 in the bank and having a 200 credit score over having a 750 credit score and having 5,000 in the bank. But the opportunities and leverage, I don't give a fuck. I have more leverage with the 200,000. Because at the end of the day, they're going to give me a loan with 200,000 of income than your 5,000 with 790. I'm just telling you, kids. But yeah, fuck these hoes. Meep, meep. But you know what? Overall, can't complain. Life's great. Life's fun. Life's amazing. This episode may not have been the greatest, but you know what? I think I started to get into a rhythm. Yeah. You know, let this just be a lesson out there. It really is true. The company you keep will be the life you seek. Yes, I did just make that up, but that ain't too shabby. If you have a good friends group, if you have a good partner, if you have a good family, your life will typically be all right. If you don't, even if life is all right, it's probably not. That, you know, because the reality is you can have a great credit score. If you don't have good friends, you have no one to blow it with. You have no one. I'm about to YOLO it, you know? I will say, I should have told her. I should have told the lady that applied for my loan or whatever. You know, I should have told her, like, hey, I know I don't have the proof of income yet in between jobs and stuff, but I do trade. And they probably, if I would have told them that, they might have been like, oh, you want to go into real debt. We got you. Maybe that would have got me the loan. Like, hey, I'm going to go into debt for y'all and be in debt to you and the brokerage account. Margin. Yeah. Not to make this, anti-bank and stuff like that. But, it is what it is. So, yeah. Jibby jabby jew. Bitty bitty boo. Pew, 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 pew. Whew. I gotta say, man, I'm getting old out there. The lower back and the glutes. It is true, I didn't believe it. I always just felt like if you're relatively active, you would be all right. But the older you get, if you ain't using them glutes and the lower back, now that made this weird. But it's just true. Like, if you're not using proper lifting technique, if you're a little bit lazy, the way you sleep, the way you sit in chairs, if you don't have good posture, your glutes are going to be caboose and cause a lot of issues. And, you kind of have like an old lady's butt. nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the old lady's butt. Because some old ladies, they have a butt, But you don't want a butt. You just want to have a round shape, to make sure, it can hold your body up. There's no point of being 200 plus pounds if you ain't got no glutes. Being 200 plus pounds without glutes is like, being a financial advisor with no money. You're pretty useless. Like, you're giving advice while you're stressing and crippling pain. I thought about walking to just like these, because there's a Edward Jones. I haven't even seen that name in the longest time, but I found out there's an Edward Jones nearby, which is like a, like an investment. I thought about just going in there, and I didn't know, by the way, with like these Fidelities, these Charles Schwabs, you can literally just go in there. Like, if you're having issues with your brokerage account, you just go in and be like, hey, I need to make a trade, and they'll just fucking do it. I thought about going to Edward Jones and be like, so, what kind of options you guys got going? But yeah, I think overall the past month, if I had to say my state of mind, it would just be a lot of, I'm not sure what I enjoy too much right now. And I don't think it's anything that serious. Not to make it too, but like, I'm doing my podcast right now. I know I enjoy it deep down, and I know I love it. I know how good it makes me feel when I, and maybe after I put an episode out, I'll get that bug again. As you can probably tell at the beginning of this episode, it's very hard for me to really be present. It's hard for me to really be engaging, to really be like lost in the sauce, to really perform solo. But I still feel like my personal duty to myself to not let this get so far out where I forget, you know, what I'm doing with it. And I feel like it's like I do this, I do my trading, I go to a job, and I work out, right? And the weirdest part, all those things, there was a period of time where they were like, I loved it. I used to love going to the gym. And my body was strong, fit, great. I used to love doing this podcast. And I was boom, boom, boom. Like, I was excited. I had something to talk about. I was ready, ready all the time. I couldn't do it enough. You know, trading, I still really enjoy it. But it's almost kind of like now, I still enjoy it, but it's kind of like where I'm trying to take on a more serious side where it's not that fun honeymoon. I'm really trying to actually make money, so it's a lot more different mentality. And, you know, all those things I enjoy, but I don't like have that underlying passion as of right now to just go the extra mile and all of it. Like, I don't care to stay at the gym an extra 20 minutes to really push myself. Like, I push myself enough, but I don't really go there, if that makes sense. I do the, you know, first time I've done the show in a month. I'm here. I'm trying to get the best show. I know it's not the best show. And I came in this, had a few things I wanted to talk about, and then, but I'm not having a great putting my thoughts together. And you know what? But that comes with time and reps. With the trading thing, it's, you know, it's very up and down. You know, it's very enjoyable, but it's also very stressful and annoying to rely on it for a partial part of my income right now. And I think it's kind of like I'm dipping my toes in too many things, and I can't even enjoy. Like, it's one thing to do a lot of shit and you enjoy all of it. Maybe you're not the best at all of it, but you have such a passion for it that you could look past a lot of shit. But, like, when you really just, like, you know. When you actually start overthinking things, like, oh, yeah, I don't want to do an episode today. The conditions aren't perfect. I don't really have much to talk about. My breathing. Oh, I don't want to trade too much. I want to overtrade this and that. You know, you're overthinking. You don't want to really go in and really risk it because you don't want to lose your account. But you know, you're kind of in a place where you're not making money, you're not losing money, you're just slowly going back and forth. And then, you know, with the gym, going back to working out, it's like you do it because you don't want to lose what you worked hard for, but you also don't really have a goal of like, do I want to be lean? Do I want to get bigger? I don't want to get too much bigger because I'm already kind of big, if you know. I kind of want to be in the middle, but I need to do cardio, but I don't, you know. You're just like, you don't have a direction. I think that's kind of my issue right now is maybe not cut one because, you know, you can't cut the gym out. You got to be healthy. I'm not. This show is my lifelong passion. And, you know, I will see it through to the end of my life. I don't care what happens with it. And the trading thing, you know, it may be some I do for a little while and maybe it's just like, I don't enjoy it, but I see that some I'm going to try to do for the longest time possible because I know I can be good at it. But I guess I'm saying all, spilling the beans out there. I think we all go through phases of this stuff where you have so many different things you enjoy and you worry, can I really fully invest and be good at all of it? Can I really fully invest in at least find success in two of the three, you know, or at least find that passion you had before when really you shouldn't be chasing something like a feeling you once had with it. Because once you're chasing an old feeling, you're looking for the wrong things. It's almost like you need to have a new reason for why you do it. I think, for example, for the gym, it's become very stagnant. I've done the same exercises for the past 2 years, for a year and a half. They help build muscle, strength, felt good. Everything was good. My body was never as strong or better. And I think it's hit a stagnant. I don't really enjoy it. Maybe I just need to have a whole new training style. But that transition, discomfort, maybe doing a lot more cardio, maybe doing like actual athletic, maybe like boxing or something. Something that makes it where it's fun. You know, maybe with the show, I need to reamp a few things. You know, I've tried different things the past couple months, you know, being more prepared and stuff. It's like, you know, maybe I need to just have a more niche aspect of it, you know. Maybe I need to go back to the old days where I had a singular obtuse topic that led to a lot of different cool conversations. But then I think, do I really have the aptitude at this point right now? I feel a lot dumber than I was a year ago. And people don't want to hear that, but it's true. You don't feel as sharp for a multitude of reasons. For whatever reasons. You know, maybe I got to do some Sudoku. That solves all your problems. Sudoku and crossword puzzles. You know, maybe I don't feel like I have that capability at this point, or I want to spend the time. And so it's just like, you know, I think it's fair. It's okay to admit that, like, hey, I'm not on my A game right now. But, you know, it just takes getting out of your head, doing it. Typically, you'll be all right. So that's what I'm relying on. And so, yeah. You know, hopefully I get this out by, you know, Monday. I'm going to drop this no later than Monday, the 21st, give you guys an episode, kind of get back on the ball rolling, putting out the clips. And so, yeah. I'll just end it there. I don't know what episode this is. You know, that's how long it's been. But yeah, guys. Off and be with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't rely, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most of our ladies and gentlemen suck some titties. Yeah. And yeah, fuck these banks. Fuck these hoes. Now they come into the show. Meep, meep. Beep, beep. But yeah, have a great day, morning, night, evening. Hopefully this shit fucking recorded.